front of me. Okay. So unfortunately, part of the first part's going to be missing, but that's okay. We're just starting. So when he, you know, again, put it on our heart to start this congregation, we had no financial backing. We had no people backing. It was just myself and Minister Scott. But when you know that you know that you know that the Father has called you to do something, you take that step of faith. And when we did, he opened doors and he provided for us. Again, we had no backing. We had no backing of a denomination to back us. But God, again, made the way every step of the way. He made the impossible possible. That word for faith is emuna, and it really means faithfulness. Our Father is faithful. He is faithful to his word. It's used to describe God's character and his actions. We see that in, let's go to Deuteronomy 32:4. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. Then Psalm 33:4. For the word of Yahweh is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He is faithful. He is faithful to watch over his word, to perform it. He is faithful to do what he said he would do. He is faithful to back up our promises when we trust him. Psalm 100, verse 5. And this is why it's so important to take this word and hide it in our heart. Psalm 100, verse 5. I'll begin with verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. You know, the rabbis say that we should bless his name at least 100 times a day. You know, every time, again, he does something for us. You just say, Baruch Hashem, blessed be your name. Or hallelujah, I tend to say hallelujah a lot, which means praise to Yahweh. For the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. And then Psalm 119, verse 90, your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. Faith in the Hebrew mindset is trust in God. If you have faith, it means you trust him. It's the Hebrew word batach, and it's a verb indicating to trust, to be confident. It expresses the feeling of safety and security that is felt when one can rely on someone or something else. We see that. Let's look at Psalm 4:6. Again, we can rest in his word. We can rest in his promises. We can confidently go out there and do what he has called us to do, because he, all of heaven is there to back us up when we are doing a heavenly job or a heavenly assignment. You know, the word says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. Psalm 4:6. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. Again, his countenance is his favor, his blessing upon us. Let's go to Psalm 9:11. Sing praises to Yahweh who dwells in Zion. Declare among the peoples his deeds. Again, we are called to declare his deeds to the people. And we are living in a time where we need more boldness than ever to go out there and do what he has called us to do. This is one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 37. Let's begin with verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, or Yahweh, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to Yahweh. Trust also in him, and he will do it. You will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as of noonday. And then verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. So we don't need to fret ourselves with what is the evil that is going on, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. God just asks us to trust in him. And trust is an action as well. If we trust in him, that we are going to go forward and do what he calls us to do. Faith, this is from Vine, the Greek word, this is from Vine Study in New Testament words, is pistis. And it primarily means firm persuasion, a conviction based upon hearing. Again, I think Romans says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. And it always refers to faith in God or Messiah, or trust in him. So let's go forward. I'm not going to read all these scriptures, but I really recommend you look at them, you meditate upon them. You build your faith by speaking, confessing his word, and getting into your heart. Again, the way to get the word into your heart is to speak it forward, is to speak it out. You could ways to speak it out when you're studying the word, as you're reading through scripture, say it out loud. All the prayers we pray are scripture prayers. Speak his promises out loud so they get into your heart. If you feel any doubt in an area, if you doubt healing, if you doubt that God's going to meet your needs, if you have fear instead of faith, then you need to get those scriptures and put them in your heart. And believe what the word says over what your circumstances say. The value of our authority rests on the power that is behind that authority. For instance, policemen who stop traffic are backed up by the city government they serve. So their authority is backed up by the municipality they serve and by the laws of the land. As a believer, our authority is backed by God himself and heaven's government. Ephesians 6:10 says we are to be strong in the Lord, or Yahweh, and in the power of his might. Our strength is in him, not in our own strength, but in his strength. We see that Adam received authority from God. Let's go to Genesis 1:26. Man was originally given the authority to rule and reign on this earth. Earth was created for man. Earth was given to man to dwell and to take authority. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God gave, again, Adam the authority over all creation upon the earth. Unfortunately, they made a wrong decision, but Yeshua took back that authority. Again, the delegated power of God was given to Adam to dominate the earth. But unfortunately, Adam believed the lies of Satan and lost that authority. But Yeshua took that authority back and gave it to us as his believers. Authority is delegated power. Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power and authority over all the power of the enemy. So Yeshua has given the authority that he took back in his death, burial, and resurrection. He has now given to his disciples, which you are, which we are, his Talmudim. Power is used twice, but they are two different words. Interpreted, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Again, this is regarding spiritual authority. It's not talking about physical serpents and scorpions. It's talking about spiritual authority over demonic powers and over all the power of the enemy. Again, he's not talking about literal snakes and spiders. He's talking about spiritual authority. Yeshua is talking about the power of demons, evil spirits, etc., and how to face the enemy fearlessly. You have authority over them and every devil and every disease and disaster that Satan brings. But again, we have to believe that his word is true. God himself is the power behind our authority. Let's look at 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 46. And most of you know the story, just an overview. We see that Goliath, who was a huge warrior from the Philistines. I mean, he was huge. I think they said he was something like 15 feet tall from what I remember. Threatening Israel and mocking Israel and saying that he was going to destroy him. All his David's brothers, nobody wanted to go to face Goliath. You know, and his brothers, David was just a teenager at this time. He was just a young man. All his brothers were seasoned warriors. They were fighters, but none of them wanted to face Goliath. But David knew that he had authority in the covenant. We read in 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 46, then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of Yahweh of hosts," or Yahweh Zevaot, "the God," or Elohim, "of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day Yahweh will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." So here, and I think in another verse, referred to him as, you know, uncircumcised. And uncircumcised means without covenant. David stood on the covenant. He knew that the God of Israel was behind him and that he would stand behind that covenant. And we know the story. He did exactly what he said. He slayed him with, again, just a slingshot, if we go down, and 49, and David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him, and there was no sword in David's hand. You know, the word says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds." So David knew his covenant, and he fearlessly stood on that covenant and defeated the enemy. Let's look at Acts 16, 25 to 28. So here we see Paul and Silas have been imprisoned for preaching the word. In verse 25, "But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and all the chains were unfastened." So here we see, again, a miraculous happening here. Why? Miracles happen, too, from praising God in horrible situations. Here they are in, again, this in the Greek, it says they were in the inner prison, the worst place of the prison you can be. Yet as they were praising God and trusting him, God miraculously releases him, and the result that the jailer became converted. Why? Because of that sign and wonder. We see examples of Elijah and Elisha, and Elijah in 1 Kings 17 and 18, all the different miracles that Elijah did. How? In his own strength? No, through the power of God that resided in him as a prophet. And we see the same thing in Elisha's life. In fact, Elisha asked for a double portion of that anointing that was upon Elijah, and he did actually double the miracles that Elijah did because of that double portion anointing. We see that in 2 Kings 4, 5, and 6. Again, that's a great study. In fact, I did a teaching on that. If you go on the website, the podcast, on Elijah and Elisha. Why? Because they went in God's power. God honored their faith. God honored their action and did mighty, mighty miracles. And I'm believing God for the same thing. Hallelujah. Luke 10:17. Then the 70 returned with joy. Again, Yeshua sent out the 70 to the to preach the gospel, to, he gave them authority, the anointing to spread the word. And they came back saying, Master, even the demons submit to us in your name. That's the key. They submit to the name of Yeshua. And Yeshua said to them, I was watching Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names have been written in the heavens. The word for authority is exousia, the Greek, and it means permission, authority, right, liberty, power to do something. So Yeshua has given us in his name the power to do what he has called us to do. It also means as far as right, authority, or capability is concerned, it involves ability, power, and strength. Again, we go forward in his strength, in his power, in his name. That word power is the Greek word dunamis. And it means power, especially achieving power. All the words derived from the stem duna have the meaning of being able or capable. One of the usage of this speaks is spoken of God, the Messiah, and the great power of God, meaning his mighty energy. You know, again, I think sometimes we forget that we serve an all-powerful God, the one that could speak forth the heavens and the earth, that created the heavens and the earth, that created us from the dust of the earth, that blew the life of God into our hearts. We need to take hold of his power, knowing that there is nothing impossible to him. You know, we don't have to go out in fear. We go out trusting him, you know, as we are sharing his word and sharing, you know, his truth with people, that he is going to, again, says signs and wonders follow the word being preached. So let's look at some of these scriptures just referring to the dunamis power of God. Matthew 22:29. And here Yeshua is rebuking the Sadducees regarding the resurrection, because the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe it was possible and were throwing questions at Yeshua. Well, let's read it in context, verse 23. On that day, some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Yeshua and questioned him, asking, Teacher, Moses says, if a man dies having no children, his brother as next of kin shall marry his wife and raise up the children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers with us, and the first married and died, having no children, left his wife to his brother. And also the second and third came down to this, and they came down to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they are all married to her. So again, they're kind of mocking him because they didn't believe in the resurrection. So here Yeshua's response is verse 29, but Yeshua answered and said, you are mistaken and not understanding the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Is he not the God of the dead, but of the living? So again, Yeshua is retorting back to them from the scriptures that, you know, yes, there is a resurrection, because his promise is, how can we serve, you know, after we are done from this earth, how can we continue to serve him if we no longer exist? So again, we need that great power. Again, we see that great power in the resurrection of Messiah. You know, a lot of times we bring God down to our level. We think, well, just because we can't do it, God can't do it. We need to bring ourselves up to God's level and trust him, and knowing again that all power, that he is the God of the universe, and nothing is impassable to him. Mark 12, 24. Again, it's the same situation here, just a different, it's in Mark. Again, the same thing is not the reason you are mistaken, but do not understand the scriptures or the power of God. Let's go to Luke 1:35. The angel answered her again. The angel appeared to Miriam. Some believe this was during the season of Hanukkah regarding the Messiah. And the angel said to her, the Ruach HaKodesh will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the Holy Child shall be called Beit Elohim, or the Son of God. Hallelujah. Again, people doubt the virgin. Well, how can that be possible? How can a virgin, you know, have a baby? With God, nothing is impossible, because it is the power of God that planted that seed within her, which was the seed of Messiah, Yahweh Elohim. Hallelujah. Romans 1:20. Again, talking about that power and that authority that we walk in. Why? Because we are in Messiah and he is in us, and he endued us with that power so we can go and do what he has called us to do. Again, not to put on a show, not to make a name for ourselves, but to glorify his kingdom and his power and his authority. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood, those which have been made, so that they are out without excuse. Again, this is using that word, dunamis, power. Romans 9:17. You know, it's interesting too. I've heard stories, again, missionaries and ministers who have gone over to, you know, third world countries, and they see miracle after miracle after miracle happen. It's like, why? Because these people have simple faith in God. They believe God's word and they receive. Where, you know, a lot of times when there's a lot of head knowledge, or, you know, we tend to, you know, again, doubt or unbelief. Well, God doesn't do that anymore. Why wouldn't he do that? Don't people today need to know that God loves them, that his power is real, and that he exists? We need to have that childlike faith. Romans 9:17. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, that my name may be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. 1 Corinthians 6:14. Now God not only raised the Lord, or Yeshua the Messiah, but will also raise us up. How? Through his power. Now, you know, I believe that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That means upon, when our work is over here on earth, there is a resting place for our spirits in Messiah, where we await the resurrection, because God created us to not just be spirits, but to be spirits and bodies, to serve him again in the new millennium. And our bodies will be perfect, without sin, no more sickness, no more disease. So again, in God, at the end of the age, God will give new bodies to all those who have put their faith in him. He says we'll be like Messiah. We'll have that same type of body so that we can rule and reign with him. I don't believe when you die, you are just unconscious, because the spirit is always awake, okay? And to be absent from the body is to be present with Yahweh. And the ancients believed that as well. The ancient rabbis, the ancient Hebrews believed that as well. It talks about them being gathered unto their people at the time of death, which was that time, that place of resting until the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 6:14, I think I read that. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Again, this is our hope. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that... Sorry, we just dropped some water. That's okay. We'll just keep going. Minister Scott's just giving me a bath here. That's okay. 2 Corinthians 4:7. He was trying to give me some water and it slipped. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. Again, he goes on to say, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Yeshua, so that the life of Yeshua may be manifested in our body. Hallelujah.
All right.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I'm just wiping up some water here a second. It's okay. I'm not going to let this disrupt what we're saying. It's just water. No big deal. All right. So let's go forward. 2 Corinthians 13:4. For indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of Yahweh. For we also are weak in him, yet we live with him because of the power of God directed towards us. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? Again, this is all these scriptures use that Greek word dunamis. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Hallelujah. And it goes on to talk about which he brought about in Messiah when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the Kehillah, which is the body, the fullness of him, which fills all in all. Ephesians 3:7. Of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. Ephesians 3:20. Now in him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. In 2 Timothy 1:8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Messiah or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. And then 1 Peter 1:5. Who are protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And then 2 Peter 1:3. Seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. It also refers to the manifestation power of God. We see that, again, speaking of Yeshua as exercising the power to heal in Mark 5:30, Luke 6:19, Luke 6:8-46, and 2 Corinthians 12:9. It is also spoken of miraculous power, the mighty power of signs and wonders. Again, that's what we've talked to our prayer group has been praying about this. I've spoken to some other people who the Father is stirring their heart as well, that we need to go out there and we need to be praying for people. And again, praying in his power, his authority, and allowing him to work through us. Again, the power of signs and wonders following, you know. And again, how are we going to do some of this? Hey, I'm just taking it one step at a time as the Ruach, you know, gives us the plan. And the first plan is to hang out these hangers and put in places, to be able to pray with people. Phase two will probably be having some kind of a tent out there. Again, he'll reveal in his time when to do it and how to do it. So that word, again, Yeshua has given us his power of attorney. A power of attorney is a legal document in which an individual called the principal chooses to authorize another person to act on his or her behalf for any purpose spelled out in the document. So what is our legal document? The Bible is our covenant document. It is our legal document. Who is the principal? Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the one who authorizes us to go forward and act on his behalf. Who is he authorizing? His Talmudim, which we are. So he has given us, again, the power and authority to use his name to do his work here upon the earth. Again, we see the example of, if we go to Acts chapter 16, how here a demonic spirit was talking through this person, this woman, and what they were saying was the truth, but they were trying to deceive, and God revealed to Paul this deception. So let's go to Acts 16. Let's see. Actually, that's not
six.
I think it's Acts 16:16. Yeah, Acts 16:16. That's it. Okay. So it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul, or Shaul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bond servants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." Was that the truth? Yes, it was the truth. She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed. Why? Because he was sensing in the Ruach that this was another spirit. This was a demonic spirit. And turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. So here, Paul was given the discernment. That's what we need when we are ministering to people. The enemy knows how to appear as an angel of light. So we need that gift of discernment to, again, Paul picked up right away that this person, she was not speaking by the spirit of Yahweh. Okay, she was speaking through another spirit. And what did he immediately do? He cast the spirit out. Verse 19, "But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, 'These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which is not lawful for us to accept or observe, being Romans.'" So here, you know, they lied about what they were doing, and we read about before they were thrown into prison, but God miraculously delivers them. But again, emphasizing, we need to operate. That's why the gifts of the Spirit are so important. We need to, again, we've been praying, Father, you know, increase those gifts. Give us that discernment we need so we are not deceived. Again, this was a deceptive spirit. So let's go on. We see in Acts 19:20 another example. I'm just trying to, let's see where I want to begin here. I'm just seeing, I may want to stop. I want to start a little. Well, let's begin with verse 11. God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. And also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had evil spirits the name of Yeshua the Messiah, saying, "I adjure you by Yeshua whom Paul preaches." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. Again, back in those times, yes, the rabbis practiced exorcism. In other words, casting out evil spirits. Verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, "I recognize Yeshua and I know about Paul, but who are you?" So here we see even the evil spirits know who truly belong to God and who have the authority to use the name. And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them and subdued all of them and overpowered them. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known to all, both Jews and Greeks who lived in Ephesus, and fear fell upon all, and that the name of Messiah Yeshua was being magnified. Many of those who had believed kept coming, confessing and disclosing their practices. And many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of everyone. And they counted up the pieces of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of Yahweh was growing mightily and prevailed. Why? Because they saw the manifestation power of God. Again, to have authority in the kingdom, you must be under authority. We see Philippians 2, 8, and 9 state that Yeshua was under the authority of the Father. In Matthew 8, 5 to 10, the soldier, again, when he came to Yeshua, he understood authority. When he came unto Yeshua asking for healing for his servant, he knew what authority was. And Yeshua marveled at that. Well, let's go look. Let's look at that. Matthew 8. Matthew 8, 5 to 10. And when Yeshua entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented." Yeshua said to him, "I will come and heal him." But obviously this centurion was probably what they called a God-fearer. They believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but did not enter into full conversion. But the centurion said, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed." So this centurion recognized the authority of Yeshua. "For I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it." Now when Yeshua heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into utter darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Yeshua said to the centurion, "Go, it shall be done for you according to you, to what you have believed." So here we see that, do we believe in the power and the authority of the name of Yeshua? When we lay hands on the sick, again, when I am laying hands on the sick or Minister Scott, we are believing God and the authority of that name for healing. However, we need to also show people how to stand for that healing through the word, because the enemy wants to come and snatch it. He always comes with doubt and unbelief. You know, he'll say things like, "Well, that person didn't get healed. You know, that person died. What makes you think that he's going to heal that person?" Well, you know, we have to cast down those thoughts and imagination, stand on the word, and show people as well how to stand on the word of God as well. The word is our medicine. The word is our authority. We see in 1 Samuel 38, that David was under God's authority. And James 4, 7, he says to resist the ha-satan supernaturally, you must be under authority. I just want to look at James really quick. James 4, verse 7. I tell you, this is a small letter, a small book, but it's really powerful. Here he says in 4, 7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the first thing we need to do is to submit to God. When we submit to God, to his word and his authority, the enemy has to flee. We operate under covenant authority of the word and Yeshua. Again, we saw in Acts 18 that demons recognize the authority. Again, they know who belong to God. They know who operate in authority. And these sons of Sceva had no authority. They were just using the name, thinking, oh, well, you know, this is a magical word we can use. But they recognize that, hey, we know who Yeshua is. We know who Paul is, but who are you? But we can go forth knowing that we belong to Messiah and we have that power and authority to do what he has called us to do. We see in Psalm 103, let's go to Psalm 103, 19 to 20. Our job is to go to proclaim his word and know that his power and authority is standing behind us to do what he has called us to do. Psalm 103, verse 19 and 20. Yahweh established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless Yahweh, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. That's why we believe it's important to pray the word, because they only obey the voice of the word. Mark 11, 23 and 24, let's go there. Let's begin in verse 22. And Yeshua answered to them, saying, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received, and they will be granted to you. Then he goes on to say, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. So here, again, God, how did he create the world? He spoke it out. There are power. Words are powerful. You know, in fact, there's a lot of even Jewish writings about Lashon Hara, the sin against speaking evil words. But there's also power in speaking the words of God in faith. Again, we can have whatever we say as long as it is in line with God's word, and that's what God is referring to. Again, he's teaching his disciples about walking in God's power and authority. We're going to look in a little more detail. So number one, God does nothing apart from faith or trust in him. Don't ask the Father to move the mountain. He gave you the authority to move it in Yeshua's name. You know, a lot of times we're sitting around waiting for God to do something, and God's saying, you need to go. As you go, I will do it. Our words carry much more authority than we realize. Speak with command in your voice, knowing that what you say is correct and you believe your words are powerful. Why? Backed upon his word and his authority that he has given us. It's all about him, being in him. Again, believe that whatever you say, when backed by God's word and his power. Let's go to Zechariah 4:7. I love this scripture. In fact, there's a synagogue in River Forest that has this actually written on their wall, on the outside of their building. Zechariah 4:7. Actually, it's 4:6. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Yahweh, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says Yahweh Zevaot. So again, it's not by our own might, it's not by our own power, but it is by his spirit and by his power that we are able to accomplish what he has called us to do. Now, this is a commentary from the complete the Jewish New Testament commentary by David Stern regarding this verse. And again, if we go back up, if we go to Mark 12 to 14, let's go back there so we can see the context of what Yeshua said regarding the power of words. Go back to Mark 11 and look at 12 to 14. Oops. Mark 11, beginning with verse 12 to 14. On the next day, when they had left Bethany, he became hungry. Seeing a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it is not the season of figs. Then he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples were listening. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturn the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he would not permit anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. And he began to teach, saying, Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a robber's den. And then as we go down, let's go down to verse 20. As they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. So again, they heard Yeshua curse it, and then the next day they see that it had died. Being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. So now again, this is a commentary by David Stern. If Yeshua's cursing and drying up of the fig tree had been a petulant reaction to disappointment because he couldn't satisfy his hunger, it would be unworthy of anyone, let alone the Messiah. But Yeshua is making a point by means of prophetic drama or an acted out parable. The Tanakh gives examples of this through Jeremiah, where he bought and then broke a clay pot. Again, it was a clay pot. It was a visual demonstration of a prophetic word. And Ezekiel, who made and then burned a model of Jerusalem in Ezekiel 4-5. Again, it was a visual demonstration of a prophetic word, and this is what Yeshua was doing. Even on a season of fig in leaf, it must have been in leaf to be seen in the distance, holds forth the promise of fruit. The normal early season for figs in Israel is June, but the early unripe fruit begins to show itself even before the spring leaves appear on the branches, often before Passover. We know that Yeshua expects God's people to put forth the fruit of righteousness, and the unproduced branches are thrown into the fire. We see that in the parable. We are the vine. He says he is the vine and we are the branches. Thus, the drying up of the fig tree is an acted out warning. It keeps with Proverbs 27:18. He who tends a fig tree will eat his fruit, and he who serves his master will be honored. Yeshua is teaching his followers what it means to serve their master, which is Yahweh Elohim. It means simply to have the God kind of trust, that have the kind of trust that comes from God, and that they will wither away if they don't. Yeshua neither acts from a pique or irritation or resentment, nor performs arbitrary miracles like a magician. Every one of his supernatural acts has spiritual significance. So again, in order for us to produce fruit, we need to be doers of the word. We need to be connected to Yeshua on a daily basis, connected to the word on a daily basis. living by faith on a daily basis and walking in him. There's a Jewish saying, a friend of mine years ago, her name was Dale Demp. She was a Jewish believer in Messiah, and she used to say this all the time, from your mouth to God's ears. And I believe that they got this from Malachi 3:16. Unfortunately, she was killed in a car accident, but she is enjoying her time with Yeshua until the resurrection of our bodies, and we will see each other again. Malachi 3:16, then those who revere Adonai spoke with each other, and Adonai took notice and heard, and a scroll of remembrance was written before them for those who revere Adonai, even those who esteem his name. So again, Adonai heard them speaking. It came forth again into his ears, and there was a scroll of remembrance written before him for those who revere Adonai, even those who esteem his name. So here again, it shows the importance of our words. You know, I want to go back to my friend Dale Demch, because I just want to because some people say, well, why was she killed in a car accident? Why didn't God protect her? We had the day that she went to be with the Lord, I had like a jewelry demonstration. So I had, you know, ladies from the congregation were at my apartment. And by the time we left, it was a little foggy out. And the Ruach spoke to me and said, have Dale stay with you. Don't have her drive home. You know, so God had given a warning, but she went home anyway. So again, here, the importance of listening to the Ruach and obeying the Ruach. And I was devastated when I heard what had happened, because I was the first one they contacted, because it was my name they found in her purse, and I guess they didn't have any way to contact people. But God had given a warning ahead of time, you know, and I felt so bad for so long. It's like, you know, why didn't, you know, I say something, or why, you know, because the thought was, well, I know Dale, she'll, you know, she was an eye doctor. And I know her, that, you know, I thought, well, she, you know, she won't want to stay. She'll just go. And again, it showed me, and I don't know if she would have stayed anyway, you know, but the Ruach had already warned me, don't let her go home tonight. Have her stay with you. And I tell you, I learned a very serious lesson on hearing for God and speaking forth what God hears, whether you think somebody's going to listen to you or not. Because if she had stayed that night, she would have been alive. And I was a young believer, but I'll never forget that. And again, that is why it's so important for us to be sensitive to the voice of the Ruach, especially when we're ministering to people, because I believe in God, as we are out there ministering to people, that he is going to reveal things to us, to speak to these people, to pray over them and let them know that, hey, God knows what's going on in your life. He is real. And that, again, is the gifts of the Ruach, the gifts of the Spirit. We see that time and time in the Word, how God reveals things to his people in order to minister to them. Malachi 3:17 continues, so they shall be mine, says Adonai Zevaot. In the day I make them my own special possession, so I will spare them as one who spares, and that word is spare is having great mercy, and his son serving him. Then you will return and distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves Yahweh and the one who does not serve him. For behold, the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace, when all the proud and every evildoer will become stubble. The day that is coming will set them ablaze, says Adonai Zevaot, leaving them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. Then you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall, and you will trample on the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I am making, says Adonai Zevaot. And I believe that is looking forward to the time of Messiah and the authority he has given us to trample down, again, the spiritual wickedness, not in our power, but in his power. Again, we already read Mark 11, 22 and 23. Matthew 17, 14. When they came to the crowd, a man came to Yeshua, falling on his knees before him, saying, Master, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures and suffers badly. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. And Yeshua answered and said, O faithless and twisted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. Yeshua rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Yeshua in private, saying, Why couldn't we drive it out? And he said to them, Because you trust so little. Amen, I tell you, even if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So again, he's saying it wasn't because of God's lack of power or his will to deliver this person. It was because of your trust of believing that it would happen. Was it definitely a learning experience for him? This is the last we're going to end here. Again, regarding mountain, that word mountain is oros. It means a proverbial expression. To remove mountains means to accomplish great and difficult things. The Father wants to accomplish great and difficult things through us in the days we are living in. We need to believe that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We need to do what he said to do, to go in Yahweh and in the power of his might. And again, before we go, we need to undergird it with prayer and intercession. And again, be led by the Ruach, believing that God will, yes, even use these little door hangers to speak to people's hearts. And hopefully those that are seeking will contact us. Again, right now we're in the process of seed planting, you know, and eventually, I don't know if it'll be this year or next year, again, it'll be God's timing, do what he said for us to do regarding extending our pent pegs.
Tent pegs.
Talking backwards there. So, hallelujah. You know, and I'm just, again, believing. I never wanted us to be a bless us for and no more club. You know, we need to, again, go out there. We need to not only bring people to Messiah, but he has called us to disciple as well. And I spent years preparing classes just for discipleship, preparing study books just for discipleship. And some people have been attending those classes, and they are online as well. We just started teaching on the Derech. We just hit chapter, we've only had two classes so far, but it's an important teaching on how the early apostles discipled those, you know, especially the Gentiles coming into the faith so they can learn how to walk according to Torah, and so they could learn how to serve God and be used of God to reach others for him. And, you know, that is our heart's desire. That is what, you know, we believe that God has called us to do as a ministry, and what we've spent years, again, praying for. And God is confirming it. He's confirmed it really for the past 5 years to do this. But we know God's timing is perfect. He's just waiting for those that are willing to get up and go. Again, once I get these door hangers, I will let you know when we're going to start going out. Those that are near the area, you may want to just, you know, put these around your area. Again, it's a non-confrontational. It's you're just hanging them on the doorknob. If somebody happens to ask what you're doing, well, you could share with them then. But it's a way of planting seeds, again, pointing them to the website so they can get to know us. And I'm just believing God for fruit, because we know this is his will. This is his will to do this. And again, I've just went all through scriptures, stating that he has given us a commission to go and to go and preach the gospel. We see how the early believers, how signs and wonders followed them, and they shook their world upside down for Yeshua. They had no internet. They had no cell phones. They had no kind of electric devices to help them. Yeah, I mean, they traveled for miles and miles from place to place to spread this word. You know, so what excuse do we have? None. So I guess I'm asking you again to pray about this. And, you know, again, just simply walk around, hang them on doorknobs if you live in an apartment complex, or go door to door, whatever. I know there are people that are interested in doing this, and I'll have, you know, again, once we get it, I'll have more details. So, Alvino McCain, our Father, King Father, we thank you for this Shabbat. We thank you for this day, Father, that we can come to you and receive instruction and direction. Father, we thank you that we don't have to depend upon our own flesh for things to be accomplished, but we depend upon your glory, upon your power, and the authority of our Messiah, Yeshua, to go forth and do what you have called us to do. And those, Father, who have searching hearts, Father, we pray, Father, that they will take heed and come to faith in you. I believe that there are many people out there, thousands, that are in fear, Father, that are searching for truth, but they cannot find the truth on the TV set, Father. It's up to us to give them the truth, Father, through your word. And I just thank you for supernatural provision for what you have called us to do. I thank you, Father, for increasing our faith, increasing our trust, Father, that we hide that word in our heart, Father, so that we are doers of the word, Father, and not just hearers only. And I just pray your blessings, Father, upon every person here. I just want to pray Numbers 26, and then we could open it up for discussion if anybody has anything they want to share. Actually, I say this blessing every day over the intercessory prayers or when we get together to pray. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I will then bless them." Father, we receive your blessings. We receive, Father, your protection. We receive your favor. We receive your anointing. We receive your shalom and everything you've given us that pertains to life and godliness. In the name of our Messiah, Yeshua, amen.